Folks, let's get into this message this morning. And let's spend some time as we prepare our hearts to hear from God today, as we do every service, and just really understand that we're talking about, we've gone through this warrior series on us being warriors and how the Bible says that we have been enlisted as soldiers to serve Christ Jesus, as soldiers, as warriors. So we recognize that when you give your life to Christ, you become in the army of God and you become one who is a soldier and one who is a warrior for advancing the kingdom of truth, advancing the kingdom of heaven, advancing our King's kingdom as his servants, as his warriors, as his knights. And listen, when you begin to understand this, I want to get you to get this picture in your mindset that you are before the Lord. I get this picture in my mindset every morning as I kneel before the Lord as his knight and he is my king, and that I am bidding him service today. And I get in a kneeling position as a knight would to his king because I recognize that Jesus is my king, and Jesus was a warrior, and Jesus is a warrior, and Jesus was bold. And he took on religion, and he took on the fake fair weather saint, and he took on the enemy. And he will have great victory again over the enemy. And we begin to recognize, unfortunately, I think some church, some of the church, or the enemy himself, or the world picture of my king and my savior and my Lord and my warrior, whom I'm willing to give my life for, is some wimpy little dimp weak weasel who walked the earth one day with long wimpy hair and these soft little hands that he maybe painted. That's some ridiculous picture of Jesus as this weak little wimp who let everyone push him around because he was so compassionate and mercy and so full of grace, and they just kicked him around like an old shoe. Wrong. We're going to get into scripture this morning, and I'm going to give you the Bible picture of who Jesus as a warrior, how bold Christ was against religion, how bold Christ was against those who maybe chose to follow him on their terms and not his terms, and how bold Christ was with the enemy and will be with the enemy. And I'm telling you what, gear up, because this is going to change how you view and how you begin to cry out and how you kneel before your king. Listen, the deal is this. When you understand a king-knight relationship, and you understand that when a knight found themselves under a great king, the knight was willing to give his life for his king. Right. Folks, there is not another great king that compares to my Jesus and my Savior and my Lord, who is the Lord of Lords and he is the King of Kings. And folks, we got to get before him in a way a knight gets before his king, willing to give his life for the king. So man, come on, open up with me two places this morning. Mark 2:23. Turn to Mark 2, put a marker in Mark 2:23. And then flip over to Philippians 2, please. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your word. Your word is so real and is so alive and it's so powerful. And God, that your word can rearrange us and change us as we walk out of this place today. We can be different. We can be different because your word is that powerful. Your word is that alive, God, that you would speak to us this morning. God, open our eyes to see what we need to see. Individually, pinpoint your word to us. God, open our ears to hear from you today. Let your spirit speak into our lives by your word today. God, I ask that our hearts would be a sponge. We come hungry, hungry to hear from you, hungry for your word this morning. God, we're not here to do church. God, we're not here to play church. We're not here because we have to be here because it's Sunday. God, we're here because we want to encounter the living God, that we want you to speak into our lives and into our families and into our beings this morning, that we walk out of this place alive and different because we heard from you today. God, it's that real, week after week after week, God. Thank you for that. Father, speak to us this morning because we're hungry and we need you. We are desperate for you. We're desperate for this word today. And folks, I ask that you would ask God, speak to me today. Open the eyes of my heart. Enlighten the eyes. Shed light on this morning. And speak to me today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, folks, as we preach on this, you got to know the enemy hates you, and the enemy hates me, and the enemy hates this church, and the enemy hates what this church is doing and how we're advancing truth. The enemy hates that week after week after week we get cards or emails or texts about Jesus in lives of people that are never the same again because of what Christ has done for them, what Christ has done for husbands, what Christ has done for wives, what Christ has done for teenagers, what Christ has done for their family union, how those who understood that they were once lost and now Christ has shown up, paid the price for them, have an eternal security with God in heaven forever. And we are getting it week after week after week of what God is doing in the lives of people in this region, around the world, around the globe, and the enemy hates it. And I tell you what, last night I got done preaching this. And this, I don't remember ever this happening, ever. And just in the middle of the night, I just felt this attack. I've never seen this. I didn't see anything, never felt like this. And man, it once again became real that we are fighting a very real enemy and his servants and his demons and the very, very dark side of Satan. The very dark side of his demons and his servants, the fallen angels who hate you and I. And I'm telling you, for the first time, and I preached last night what I'm going to preach today. And I tell you what, even in the midst of that darkness, it was this experience and this feeling of just absolute complete peace. See, my King and my Jesus, His name is exalted above every name. Jesus is the highest ranking official. Jesus Christ has overcome darkness. Jesus Christ has disarmed you at the cross. Jesus Christ has called you to be defenseless. And there is a peace in me. Folks, I'm asking you to pray for your pastor. Because Satan and his enemy hates me and he hates you and he hates this church and he hates what we're doing in this region. And I tell you what, though, honestly, I was up this morning and I just felt so fired up to go. So fired, ready to rip this thing through. Ready to advance the kingdom of heaven this morning. Ready to preach truth and just go after it with everything I've got, folks. And listen, like I said, I'm not weird. That's not happened before, but there was this overwhelming sense of darkness. Some type of attack. And I just began to proclaim the name of Jesus. And there was such a peace. Again, it was a great reminder. It backfired because it was a great reminder of me that there's a very real fight of darkness. And the enemy hates what we're doing. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep going. And we're going to go harder than we've ever gone. Because lives are at stake, and families are at stake, and kids are at stake. There are those who are broken and hurt, and that the enemy's got his grip on them, and Jesus is going to release them. We're going to see freedom in people's lives. And we're going to push this thing through, folks. Come on, we're going to preach on Jesus. We're going to preach on our King, my King, your King, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Lord, being a warrior and being bold. Folks, this is great. Come on. Zephaniah 3 says this. I want you to see this. When you begin to see from the Old Testament to the New Testament, where God was called a warrior, God is called a victorious warrior. Zephaniah 3:17. I want you to look at this. For the Lord our God, He is in your midst. Look at this. The Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. This is declaring that God, who's in our midst, is a victorious warrior. God has never and never will ever not be victorious. He will always, always be victorious. He will never, ever walk in defeat. Gang, when you begin to understand the reality of what's taking place in the world today, in politics today, in worldview today, in public view today, for some crazy reason, we might have a moment that we think, where's God? We might have a moment we think, where's God and all? What's taking place? Does God not know what's going on? There isn't a second, not a millisecond, not a moment in history that God has not been in charge, that God has not understood exactly what has taken place, that God reigns, that God is walking in victory, and that He is our victorious warrior. And gang, when we bank on that, we can look at what's taking place today. We can look and say, God, you still got this. God, you have never blinked. God, you see all things. You know exactly what's taking place. Call it God's plan and watch what God will do at the end of the road. And you see this. Look at this, what it says. He will exalt over you with joy. This is our God who is a victorious warrior. The Bible says He will exalt over you. You know what that means? He will rejoice with gladness over me. What? He rejoices with gladness over me, and he will be quiet in his love, and he will rejoice over you with shouts of joy, or with shouts of singing. That God Almighty, my victorious warrior, shouts with joy and sings over me. Gang, we serve Almighty, all powerful God, who is the victorious warrior, and he will never, never has, and never will ever walk in defeat. Not for a millisecond, not for a moment, folks, does the enemy ever have the upper hand. That's the God we serve. We got to recognize. And then Jesus shows up. Jesus comes as God in the form of man through the Virgin Mary. And folks, I want you to see this in Philippians 2. This is powerful. I want you to begin to get a picture that Jesus is not some little wimp who let everyone just push him around because he was so graceful and meek. We're going to see a picture of who Jesus was, how God Almighty himself exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, that gave him the name that is of the highest rank. Verse 6, and although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God to be a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. This is Christ, God Almighty, in the flesh, emptying himself, taking the form of a servant, a bondservant. Gang, that should just drive us to our face in great praise and thanks that Jesus, you left heaven and put on a slave outfit to serve me. Who am I that you would do that for me? He became a bondservant in being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Here you've got God who put on flesh in the form of Jesus, born to the Virgin Mary, who emptied himself and humbled himself. Now look what took place. Verse 9, for this reason also God highly exalted him. This is huge. This is my warrior. This is my King Jesus. Highly exalted Jesus and bestowed upon him the name, get this, the name that is above every name. That means that God has bestowed upon Christ his Son, who is my warrior, who is my King, who is the one who put himself on the cross for me and gave him the name, the highest rank that is above every name. Gang, when you begin to cry out the name of Jesus, when you begin to cry out that Jesus is Lord, that he is supreme, that he is an authority, that he is deity, that you begin to cry out the name of Christ is Lord. Gang, there's power in that. And that comes from God, exalted him and given him the name of the highest rank that is above every name. Now look, this is huge. Verse 10. So that in the name of Jesus, every knee will bow.
Yeah.
Get this picture, folks. Every atheist, every agnostic, every false prophet, every religious leader who has ignored Christ and went on the religious system, mm-hmm. Please hear this. Satan, his fallen angels, rules and authorities, every knee will bow and confess that he is Lord. There's no weak little wimp in that, folks. Aren't you glad that you're on this side?
Yes.
Aren't you glad that we do it willingly? Aren't you glad that we've come to recognize that he is Lord? And I willingly confess that you are Lord. And I give my life for you. It is no longer I who live, but it's you who live in me. And we come to this point willingly to say you are Lord. And we bow our knee. We confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord willingly. Because every knee, folks, whether it be a spiritual authority, whether it be rules of the authority, whether it be Satan himself, whether it be every single person who has rejected and abandoned Christ, knee will bow and tongue will confess. Folks, this is great news. Look at this. So that the name of Christ, every knee will bow to those who are in heaven. Please hear this.
Yeah.
On the earth and under the earth. For those who are in heaven. Well, who's that? That is the angels. Surrounding the throne. Right now, I'm talking now, in the present, in heaven. Surrounding the throne. Holy, holy, holy. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. That is also, please hear this. This is also those who are in heaven. Absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we recognize that when we lose a loved one, when someone who we know loved Jesus, understood what it was to be saved, gang, we've got to understand what is their position right now. We can look and understand, yes, we might miss them now in the flesh, but we recognize that in heaven, with the angels surrounding the throne, that we can have this visual picture of our loved ones who have passed and gone on to heaven, absent from this body, present with the Lord. Well, what are they doing? They are bowing now at the feet of Jesus, declaring that He is Lord. Holy, 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 worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And we can get this picture, what is taking place now in the heavens with those who are in His presence amongst an incredible, powerful worship time for eternity, worshiping their King and their Lord and their Savior at His feet, confessing over and over, holy, holy, holy is He, confessing that He is Lord. Folks, that is powerful.
Yes.
And that is taking place now in the heavens for the angels and for those who have gone to be with the Lord. And on the earth, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Who's that, folks? This is a point of praise and worship on the earth for you and I. For you and I, day in and day out, to come to a place to confess and to bow down. Jesus, You are Master and You are Lord, and all that You've done for me, I am Your warrior, I am Your slave, You are my Master, You are my King, and I willingly come before You to give You this day. You are King, and I serve You. I bid You service today. That should be happening on the earth, day in and day out. And then we have under the earth. Well, that's where the fallen angels, the third, came to heaven, and then more went right down into the pit, and that's under the earth. And there will be a day for those who have rejected Christ and abandoned Christ and said no to truth. Mankind who will be bound in hell for an eternity, who are under the earth. For Satan and his fallen demons under the earth, that will come to a point and be forced before the throne. It's a huge picture. And a sign of defeat, folks, that Christ is Lord. Powerful when you get this picture. Come on, Mark 2, please. When you begin to see how Jesus walked on the earth as man and yet God, and you begin to understand that Jesus was bold with religion, folks. He went after religion, and He went after hard. When you begin to see scribes and Pharisees all through the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when you begin to see who they were, when you understand how Jesus went after religion, why did Jesus so boldly, with great authority, go after religion and go after those who were the religious leaders? Because He recognized religion shuts the door to the kingdom of heaven. That is exactly what He told the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew 23. You who are religious, you scribes and Pharisees, you are shutting the door to the kingdom of heaven, because they were pushing this whole system of do's and don'ts. They were pushing this whole system of rules that they would set up to put themselves on a pedestal, that if you follow this, putting heavy burdens on the shoulders of mankind that were not attainable, and putting people down, raising themselves up. Again, that's what religion does. It puts others down, raises itself up of do's and don'ts. And Jesus came after that boldly with authority and shut it down. You got to understand something. When you see scribes and Pharisees, these were the top dogs, man. These were the guys who were in charge. They had political influence. They had social influence. They were the ones who were in the synagogue. They were the ones who were in the temples. They were the ones who the community looked up to, respected. These were the Bible teachers. These were the Bible preachers. These were the religious leaders. These are the ones who appeared to be following God, appeared to have a fear of God. They tithed on everything that they... I mean, you look at these from the public's point of view, they were way up here. They loved God. They were in the temple. They went to church. They tithed. They had influence in politics. They had influence in the social order. They had influence in the church. They were up here, and people looked up to them with the highest regard. And then you got Jesus showing up. Folks, look at this. Come on. And you've got the scribes and the Pharisees who hated Jesus. And they would go over and over and over and try to test Him. And they would watch Him, and they put Him under the microscope. Everywhere He go, they would go, and they would follow Him and just trying to entrap Him and trying to catch Him, trying to accuse Him. Now look at this. And it happened, verse 23, Mark 2. that as he was passing through the grain fields on the Sabbath, that his disciples began to make their way along while picking the heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, saying to Jesus, look, like, hey, pay attention over here, Jesus. You know you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath. That is a rule. Your boys are breaking the rules. Look at what they're doing. Like, it wasn't so much the eating, it was the picking. That would be considered work on the Sabbath. And listen, they were coming unglued. Hey, pay attention. Why are they doing what is not lawful on a Sabbath? And Jesus said to them, and he goes into this whole thing about David eating in the temple. It just kind of destroys the whole thing. And he says this, have you never read? In other words, hey, scribes and Pharisees, you're supposed to be the Bible teachers. You're supposed to have the five books memorized from beginning to end. How do you not know this? That's how well Jesus knew what he wrote. How powerful is that? Right? Now look at this. I mean, he just shuts him down. Chapter 3, verse 1. And he entered again in the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. And they, the scribes and Pharisees, they were watching him, seeing if he would heal him on the Sabbath, because that would be considered work. And God forbid you ever break a law. Who, you can't heal on the Sabbath. You can't work on the Sabbath. I mean, they were just, oh, you talking about wanting to put a 2x4 to someone's head, right? I mean, they just, all they did is follow him around and try to trap him. And look at this. Watching him to see if he would heal on the Sabbath so that they may accuse him. That was their point, folks. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath, to save a life or to kill? But they kept silent. And after, now look at this, after looking around at them with anger, you want to talk about Jesus as a warrior and as a king. I'm telling you, he began to get fed up with religious rules and don'ts. He began to get fed up with those who put others down and put themselves. And listen, look at this, he looked around with anger, grieved in his heart, grieved in the hardness of their heart. And he said to them, stretch out your hand. He said to the man, and he stretched it out, and his hand was restored. I could just see Jesus looking at these guys with anger saying, yeah, guess what? Dude, come here. Whoop, healed. How about that? Right? I mean, seriously. And then you get into Matthew 23. And this is in a public place. Possibly thousands of people who look up to these scribes and Pharisees, who recognize them having authority in politics, authority in social order, authority in the church. These are the men who fear God. These are the men who lead us biblically. These are the men who are in the church. These are the men who tithe with everything. These are the men. They make the rules. We follow the rules. This is what we do. And Jesus shows up publicly, looks them in the face and said, you are hypocrites. You are fakes. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, 8 times. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. You hypocrites. You are shutting the door to the kingdom of heaven. You are denying people access to the very throne of God based on your rules of do's and don'ts, based on who you are. And then he goes into this. He tells them blind guides. Could you imagine? Jesus calling them fools. You're fake. You're a hypocrite. And then Jesus is saying, on the outside you look great, but on the inside you are disgusting and you are dirty. Could you imagine the boldness of Jesus going after the religious order? Where these people's faces must have been. As Jesus just attacked in a very bold, authoritative way. The ones that 2,000 plus people probably had the highest regard for. And Jesus says, you are fools. He says, you are blind guides. He says, you are fakes. You are hypocrites. Because Jesus understood there is such a danger in religion. A danger to think we can earn our way. A danger to think that we can be good enough. A danger to think that we can go to church enough. A danger to think I was raised in a specific home. A danger to think I deserve because I belong to a specific denomination or a church. A danger to think that there's anything other than himself that was a way that led to the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus hated it. And he attacked it boldly with authority to the highest respecting order. And he went after it and called them fakes and hypocrites and blind and fools. It's amazing, folks, that some people paint Jesus as a little meek, little wimp who let people push him around. When you begin to read the gospel and you begin to see who Jesus was as his authority, and his boldness, not being ashamed, and going after what he knew would go after, that would stop people from coming for the very purpose that he came. And he shut it down, folks. Publicly. A second thing that Jesus did that I see. And there's more, but we're only hitting three. When it's up on the screen, it'll be Luke 9. You'll see Jesus was bold with his followers. Jesus was bold with those who claimed to be disciples and were nothing more than those who were taken from Jesus, who wanted the next miracle, wanted the next sign. Man, I'm on this guy's team. He is walking around, man. I'm hungry. He's feeding me. He's feeding 5,000 plus. He's feeding 4,000 plus. Man, this guy just, eyes are popping back in heads. Arms are growing back. Leprosy is leaving. This guy has it all. I am going to follow this guy. Man, I like to be on his team. I like to be amongst this crowd. Look at, I'm getting fed. Look at, I am getting healed. Look at, demons are getting taken out. This is, I want to be with this guy. And Jesus was bold with those who followed him as takers and not those who followed him as surrendered. Folks, you don't hear this today. This is something that you generally don't hear, as Jesus was bold, authoritative with those who just wanted to follow him for their sake. Now listen, I believe that when we come to Christ and we give our life for him and we understand biblically what it is to understand our sin, turn from our sin, repent from sin, proclaim that Christ is Lord, walking in his authority, knowing that Jesus, you are master, you are Lord, you are supreme, you are deity, and I put myself and I surrender myself as a servant of you. No longer I who live, but it's you who live in me. And we begin to recognize that that follower, when Jesus put himself on a cross, yes, that was paid for and that was free. Grace is free. But you understand, when you are a follower of Jesus, the cost of following him is not free. Jesus was bold enough to prepare us and make it very clear, you better count the costs. Luke 14, he goes into a very clear picture, you better count the cost. You better count the cost of what it is to follow me. Look what he says in Luke 9. And he was saying to them all, if anyone wishes to come after me, look, if you truly desire to be a follower of me, now look what he says, you must deny himself. That word deny, it means to disown. You must disown yourself. You must deny yourself and take up your cross daily and follow me. Folks, our walk with him is a consistent walk. Our walk with him is picking up our cross. That cross, as he's preaching this and speaking this, their view of cross was death. You need to die to yourself, disown yourself day after day after day after day. This life that you once knew is no longer about yourself, but it's about me. And you got to die yourself, disown yourself, and come after me and follow me. You talk about the boldness of Christ. You could imagine Jesus speaking this with such authority, with such boldness. Listen, if you're going to follow me, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to disown yourself. You're going to take up your cross. You're going to die daily. It is a walk of consistency, folks, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Man, that's encouraging. I'm sure you just had the place going, great, I get to lose my life. That's what? Wait. I mean, when you begin to see the reality of the boldness and the authority that Jesus spoke to those who proclaimed to be his followers, you might see a different pattern from what some say today it is. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what does a man profit if he gains the whole world, loses and forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me in my words, sink this thing in. Whoever is ashamed of me in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Gang, we follow Christ. It's a serious deal. It's a deal that says it's no longer about me, but it's about him. And in that, though, in that there's peace. In that there's joy. In that there's blessing. In that we serve out of a great deal of desire because of what he's done for me, understanding that this is so temporary and I have an eternal life with him forever to be in his presence. And in this place, I will walk in peace and I will walk in joy and I will walk in blessing. And God Almighty sees my every step and he wants to bless my every way. He wants to keep me. He wants to bless me. His face will shine upon me. His countenance will be on me. His grace be with me, and I will walk in peace. Gang, with all of that, when you recognize that when we follow him, and Jesus was bold coming after those who were fake followers and say, this is what it's going to take. John 6 is an amazing picture of this, where Jesus goes through and he begins to declare to the crowds, those who were following him, saying, I'm the bread of life. You got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they got all whacked out. They're thinking, this is reality. I got to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And Jesus is saying, I am the way. Period. You want eternal life, it's through me. That's what Jesus was saying. And there's a group that heard this, and it was just too much for them. And they were called disciples in Scripture, followers. And they said, nah, too much for me. The Bible says they withdrew and they walked away. You know what I don't see? I don't see Jesus chasing. I don't see Jesus saying, come back. What do you know? I'll lighten up a little bit. No, I didn't really mean. Maybe I'm not the only way. I don't see Jesus saying, oh, I'll lighten the message. It's okay. No, please. Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, please come back. I want you to. I don't see that in Jesus. You know what? You know what he does after these guys turn and burn and say, no, too much for me. You know what Jesus does? He turns to his 12. You going anywhere? You with them? And there's times that Peter nails it. There's times that Peter doesn't nail it. He nails it. Where are we going to go? I see this conversation. Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to know and to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We're not going anywhere. And I can see Jesus, even in all of this, Jesus in this moment, in his boldness, in his authority, points out one of you is a traitor. Look, I mean, get the boldness of our King, folks. That even when they said, too much for me, he turned to the ones who were supposed to be legit. He said, you going anywhere? And he calls one out. He says, one of you will betray me. Folks, he was bold with his followers. And come on, Revelation 19, please. Brennan, you can come up, man. If you could put Colossians 2 up, please, folks. I want you to see something. When Jesus was on the cross, there was a work that took place that you got to understand, folks. There was a work that took place on the cross when my King and my Savior and my Lord willingly put himself on that tree. No man took his life, but Jesus put it there on purpose. When you begin to realize what Jesus did for you and me on purpose, and you recognize that on that cross, in his death, in his sacrifice, in that we have been forgiven, in that our blood stain, the blood stain on that cross was the one that remission to our sin, took our sin out, cleaned us white as snow. His death on the cross was a propitiation for our sin, that God's wrath has been satisfied. There was so much work that took place with Christ on the cross. And here's this, gang, you got to see this. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of degrees against us, which was hostile to us. Gang, we have an enemy who hates us, and he is hostile towards you and I. This is great. He was hostile to us. And look at this. Christ has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross when he had disarmed. We are not to walk in fear, folks, of the enemy. Why last night that such great peace? Because I know this verse is true. The enemy has been disarmed. Me being a police officer, I do not fear anyone who am I facing off with who's been disarmed, folks. Mm-hmm. And when Christ was on the cross, he took the rulers and authority, that's the dark side, and he disarmed them. Folks, that's powerful. Look at Hebrews 2. Therefore, since the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same. Get this. And through death, that was the cross, folks. Through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. He is disarmed and he is powerless when it comes to death. Jesus Christ on the cross gained victory over death, gained victory over Satan, gained victory over the grave, gained victory over sin, that you and I no longer ever have to fear death based on what Jesus did, conquering, disarming, and making the enemy powerless and taking the power of death from the enemy, from the devil, who is the false accuser, nailing it to the cross. That's my victorious warrior who took toe-to-toe with the enemy and disarmed him. Toe-to-toe with the enemy and rendered him powerless over death, so you and I never, ever will have a fear to die, knowing that absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then we see the absolute ultimate victory in Revelation 19, verse 5. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you, his bondservants. Folks, that is me and that is you. All you, his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And listen, John is writing this and he's trying to describe this. Then I heard something like, He's like, I just really can't put it into words. There was something that took place. I saw this vision. Listen, the Bible says he was taken up to heaven, and he says this, man, it was hard to describe, but this is what it sounded like. It was like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty pearls of thunder. Folks, that's you and I in a moment crying out, all the saints crying, I'm making this huge sound of pearls of thunder. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Go again, please. This is a futuristic picture that God has shown for you and I to recognize that God never misses a day. He never misses an hour. He never misses a moment of time. And that we will come to realize in absolute authority, crying out, hallelujah. That means praise God. For the Lord our God, the Almighty. What? He reigns. Folks, that's you and I in thunderous worship around the throne. And he says this, let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride, that is you and I, has made herself ready. And it was given to her, that is the bride, clothed herself in fine linen, bright and clean. Verse 11 says this, and I saw heaven open, and behold, I want you to get this picture, folks. Get this picture of Christ, who is king. Christ, who is a warrior. Christ, who understands what it is to go to battle. Who understands what it is to declare war. Look at this. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And the righteousness, he judges and he wages war. My warrior, my King Jesus, declared the war. His eyes are like a flame of fire. His head, there are many crowns or diadems. And he has the name written on him, which no one except himself knows. He is clothed. Look at this. Get this picture. He is clothed in a robe that is dipped in blood. Could you imagine Jesus, warrior king, on a white horse? He's got these crowns and he's got these eyes that are so fixed that he's just declared war on the enemy. He is so fixed. Eyes like fire. And he is on this horse and he's coming. And in his robe is dipped and dripping with blood. Gang, that is power. Where's the little wimp in that, folks? That is my king and my warrior, Jesus. Get this. This is huge, folks. Huge. And he's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Verse 14. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen. Folks, that's us. White and clean, we're following him on a white horse. Oh, folks, this is a battle that we are not going to miss. This is a battle. I'm going to take my white horse. And I'm going to be charge. I'm just going to watch. We don't fight in this thing. We just watch. This is amazing, folks. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may strike down the nations, and he will rule with a rod of iron, and he treads the winepress. You know what you do in a winepress? You take the grape and you squash the grape. You know what Jesus does? He takes the grape and he squashes the grape. Look what it says. Of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I mean, listen, you got to recognize Christ is coming, and Christ is on a horse. He's got this robe that's dipped in blood. He's got the crowns. His eyes are like fire. He's got a sword, which is his word, ready to come out of his mouth. And he's got on his thigh, whether it's a tattoo, I just see this incredible mighty word, tattooed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then an angel comes and steps up and makes a declaration to all the birds that are flying in the sky, prepare for a feast. There will be just lined up dead flesh that you're going to feast on. Prepare for the feast of your life. Every bird that would fly in this season was ready for a feast. And Jesus shows up, and you see a picture here where the devil and Satan and the false prophets, these were the false religious leaders who led people away from truth. This is the Antichrist. These are all those who have rebelled against Jesus, said no to Jesus. And the Bible says they prepare for war against him who's coming. Like they ever had a chance, folks. And Jesus shows up. And it says the beast was seized. That's it. They They show up prepared and armed and ready for a war. You've got Satan. You've got the demons. You've got the rulers. You've got the authority. You've got the false religious leaders. You've got the Antichrist. You've got all of them coming together on a battlefield, thinking they have a chance. And Jesus comes with the sword in his mouth, speaks a word, and the beast was seized. That's my king. That's my word. And I'm on a white horse checking this thing out, going, yes, Jesus. Folks, we do not serve a little wimp who lays aside for anyone, folks. We do not serve one who is assisted. We do not serve one who let people kick him around. We do not serve one who ever, ever walked in defeat. We serve one who gave his life for us, our king, who in his death was victorious, folks. And that you and I would assume a position before him as his knights to say, you are my king, and I bid you service today. What you have for me. When you recognize who Christ is and his boldness and his authority, then you recognize that the Bible says that you're supposed to be just like him. You bold against religion that is costing people their lives? Are you bold against the fair weather follower? Are you bold against the enemy, folks? That no matter what, you can have this peace, knowing that my warrior king has got everything under control, and I bid him service. Come on, stand up, please.